Thoughts on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. Life in the New Covenant. Now, this is a long passage. What I want to do in this first discourse on this passage is to take a look over the entire section. This is what Peter says. As you come to him, see, he's taking it for granted now. I'm writing to believers. Therefore, you're in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've tasted that the Lord is good. You're regenerate. You have the Spirit. So you keep coming to him, the living stone. Yes, he's rejected by men, but he's chosen by God and precious to him. You also, coming to him like living stones, or so on. And he goes on, and let me take a broad sweep here. This is how he describes the believer's life. Now, how would you describe the believer's life? How would you describe the believer's experience? Well, he goes to church. He has his various duties in the church and in the family, and he has a round of meetings that he go to, the Bible study, the prayer meeting, the worship services, and whatever it is. How does Peter describe the new covenant life, the life of the man and woman in the Spirit? Well, the first, the absolute fundamental to my mind here is Christ. As you come to him, you offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, verse 5. It's Christ, even when he's not using the actual name of Jesus or Christ, he is talking about the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, I lay in a stone in Zion. Who is this? Chosen and precious. Nothing but Christ. Unto you who believe, this stone is precious. He's talking about Christ all too. You're a chosen people. You belong to God. You've been called out of darkness. You've received mercy. How have you received this mercy? Through Christ. Christ is absolutely fundamental to this new covenant life. Christ is all. Colossians 3:11. Is that a major part? The major part? The key part? The fundamental part of your description of the Christian life, the believer's life, the life in the Spirit? Christ. Christ. Again, another fundamental is this believing, this trusting, this coming. You get it in verse 4, in verse 7. You're looking, you're trusting, you're calling, you're tasting, you're knowing, you're feeling. You have relationship with this Christ. He is not just a theoretical abstract in some kind of book. And then it comes out to 9 and 10. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You mentioned that already. We're serving God, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, the new Israel, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were far off, you weren't a people. You weren't a people of God at all, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have. And of course, it all leads to a separation from the world. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, you've been called out of the world, separated from the world. Abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among these pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they find all manner of fault with you. They may see your good works, your glorified God through your labors in the day that he visits us. This is a description of the new covenant life. If you were describing an old covenant man, he would be attending the temple or the synagogue, keeping the feasts, the rituals, the customs, paying his dues. Well, for the believer, it's all Christ. The new covenant is walking in the Spirit as a child of God, a brother and sister of Christ, a subject of Christ. I'll just give you one illustration to try and highlight what I'm saying. I remember a case where a lady said to the pastor that she was backsliding. I don't know why she said that to him, but forget that. But he said, you can't be. And the reason you can't be, it was very clear, because you're still coming to the meetings. As long as you're coming to the meetings, then everything's all right. Now, I'm not saying a word about not assembling ourselves together for mutual fellowship. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, you can't judge a man's spirituality by his regularity at attendance. Spirituality is to do with holiness of life, spirituality of life, and that is all bound up with Christ and trusting and looking and walking with and knowing him. That's the spiritual life. I hope that's our life. Everybody listening to this, I hope it's my life. I hope that sums it up. Christ is all.